Amen. I think most of you know that he writes those poems that he reads. And if we would have known him 5 years ago, we probably would all lock our doors. That's a changed man, is what I'm saying. He's not the same person. And I very specifically chose him for joy because he knows what joy is. He's seen both sides of life. Amen. What a wonderful day as we enter this Christmas season. And we're having all kinds of just, can't think of the word, to keep Christ in our Christmas. It's so easy to let Christmas become something different, to become just busy, just a busy nonsense. And so the Lord really wants us to remember Jesus, keep Jesus in Christmas. And so I'm not speaking in Acts today. I'm going to Luke chapter 1. We're going to talk a little bit about the Christmas story. And so I'm always, I guess, probably the most surprised person in the church when I see the Holy Spirit begin to blend things and put a sermon together, when I'm walking to the pulpit thinking, "Dear Jesus, what am I supposed to talk about?" and then Dale gets up and he says, "I believe the prayer emphasis for this week is about influence." And I'm like, "Oh Lord, thank you for your goodness and your mercy." Today in Sunday school, I had the pleasure of talking about Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed and Lot and his daughters having incest and creating children. It's in Genesis chapter 19. For those of you who have never heard that story, it's a wonderful story. You know, Lot was a righteous man according to Peter, but his soul was vexed because of the city that he was living in. And he wasn't alone, because when God delivered Lot and his family from this city, the angel of the Lord told Lot, he said, "Go get your son-in-law and tell them to get out with you." And the son-in-laws, according to my Bible and NLT, said they thought he was joking. So they stayed in Sodom. His wife was so attached to the city that she wound up, even after the angel said, "Now don't turn around, look at what's going on." She was so attached, somewhere towards the end, getting out, she turned and was turned into a pillar of salt. And then the daughters did the detestable thing that they did by sleeping with their father. I thought the girls thought that the whole world had been destroyed. And so they were trying to repopulate the earth by sleeping with their dad, getting him drunk and sleeping with him and having babies. But according to scripture, when you read it close, they knew they wasn't alone. They went to the little town of Zoar, and there was people there, and they were scared. So they kept on moving, went to the mountains eventually. So you think, why does a person make a decision like that? Influence, my friend. That's influence. See, that's what sin will do to you. Sin will influence you to make bad decisions. You become hopeless, joyless, peaceless. All the things that Christ came to be and to bring on the earth, you will wind up losing those things. Why? Because sin is influential. And sinners are influential. And so you hang around, remember the old saying, we talked about this in Sunday school, birds of a feather will flock together, right? And your mama warned you of that, didn't she? My mama did. Little did we know that I was the bird that was influencing everybody. You know, I told Tree one time, I said, "I think it might be our kids that are influencing these kids to be brats." Sin influences people. But if sin can influence people, so can righteousness. And see, I believe that what Dale said is exactly what the Lord wants us to talk about today. I believe the Lord is looking for people that he can show himself strong in, so that you will be an influencer of righteousness. And we have this wrong mindset sometimes that that everybody's doing their own thing and they're happy with what they're doing. That's not true. Many people are doing their own thing, but they're miserable doing it. They just don't know how to change. And what they're looking for is they're looking for someone that will lead them out. I need a light to show me the way to righteousness. And you, my brothers and sisters, are that light. God wants to use you. God didn't just save you so you would go to heaven. I'm thankful that we get to go to heaven. But God wants to save you so that you can influence others to go to heaven. So that you can influence other people to become the righteousness of God, to live a more righteous life. That's what God, the title of this sermon is, God is looking for world changers. God's looking for someone that will allow him to speak through them, talk through them, live through him or her, and literally change the world. I was going to end with this, but I feel like I'm supposed to start with it. There's somebody that I'll almost guarantee you nobody in here will know his name. He was a Sunday school teacher of a bunch of rowdy boys. His name was Edward Kimball. Anybody heard of Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball taught all these rowdy little boys. I don't know if you've ever taught Sunday school class, but that is the one that typically everybody wants to run from, right? Don't teach the middle school boys, you know, just, but he really believed, God birthed it in his heart, that he wanted to introduce every one of those boys to Christ. He wanted them to have a personal relationship. Well, there was a young man by the name of D.L. Moody who was he worked in a boot store, and he was selling boots in his uncle's boot store. And he happened to be in Edwards in Sunday school class. And this Mr. Edwards thought, Mr. Kimball, I have to get the message to him. So he decided he would go to the boot store and talk to D.L. Moody right there. And then as he got closer, he thought, oh, I don't want to disrupt his work. I don't want to get him in trouble. You know how all this stuff happens, right? Before you go to knock on that door to give groceries, all these things. Oh, well, they're going to think I'm weird. They're going to think I'm crazy, blah, blah, blah. Right? See, the devil's the same in all of us. He talks the same to all of us. And Edward Kimball thought, I don't know. So he walked away from the shoe store. And then he thought, no, I've got to do this. I've got to do this. So he goes back to the boot store and he finds that D.L. Moody is in the back packaging boots up. And so he comes to him, he puts his hand on his shoulder and he says, D.L., he said, I'm here to talk to you about Christ. Jesus wants, he said, I don't really remember what I even said. He said, I felt like I just blundered the gospel. And he said, but D.L. was already prepared. He said it was like the Lord had been there first, right? And so he talked to D.L. for a very few minutes and immediately D.L. wanted to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, I don't know if you guys know who D.L. Moody is, but he's called the Prince of Evangelists. D.L. Moody Institute, right? The Moody Institute. So this man preached on two different continents and brought the gospel to probably millions of people. He led a man to the Lord by the name of Wilbur Chapman, which you may not know that name either, but he did great things for God. And Wilbur was preaching at a service one time, and this ball player by the name of Billy Sunday, he wound up getting saved. And Billy Sunday became a preacher, and he was preaching the gospel one time, and this guy called Mordecai Ham. Is any of this ringing a bell? Mordecai Ham decided to give his life to Jesus. And then Mordecai, as he grew up, he actually was Dr. Ham. As he walked with the Lord, he decided that he was to go to North Carolina and hold a revival. He preached 6 days a week for 11 weeks. And there was a young man there who was raised up in church but had never given his heart to Jesus and was pretty resistant to it. And when he found out that Mordecai Ham was in the city, he just said, I am not going to that revival. They said that Mordecai Ham didn't call his words, especially when it came to sin. And so this young man thought, I don't want to be part of that. I just don't want to be. But somebody came up to him, and Mordecai found out that immoral things was happening in the high school. I think it was really like a house of ill repute was across the school, and kids were wandering across the street and getting more than an education. And so he began to say, I'm going to bring this out. I'm going to expose this sin in this community. And so a bunch of people were going to gather together and beat Mordecai Ham up that day. And so this was interesting, this young man, and he thought he might just go there just to watch the fight. And somebody told him, said, I'll tell you what, if you'll go tonight, I'll let you drive my vegetable truck and go to the revival. And this young man said, oh, that'd be wonderful. I'd love to go. So he drove this old vegetable truck and filled it up with a bunch of high school students. This was 1934. And he went to the revival, and he sat out there, he and a friend of his, and he said, it looked like Dr. Ham was just staring at me. He was just preaching right to me. And he said, I'm not going back. And the next night he was back. And I'm not going back. And the next night he was back. And he just could not stay away. But he hated the fact that it looked like Mordecai was just preaching every sermon right to him. And so he joined the choir. He and his friend joined the choir, and so that they could sit behind Dr. Ham when he was preaching. And he said, neither one of us could sing a lick, but we just did. We wanted to get away from his stare. And so eventually, this man, this young boy, the day before he turned 16, Billy Graham gave his heart to God because a Sunday school teacher felt led to lead every one of his young men to Christ. They say that Billy Graham led more people to Christ than any other person. They believe 2.2 billion people heard the gospel because of Billy Graham. But it started with a Sunday school teacher being obedient to the Lord. Is that not an amazing story? How many more people could we talk about the influence of Billy Graham, that they were then saved and they were called into the ministry and they changed the world? But it all started with a Sunday school teacher being obedient. You know, sometimes when you're teaching Sunday school or keeping the nursery, you feel like you're not really doing anything for God. Don't listen to the devil's lies. See, all we have to do is be obedient to what God calls us to do. Let your yes be yes, so that we will be that influencer for the kingdom of heaven. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. You may think that Nazareth was this big community. It was a little town, probably less than 300 people in it. So the angel came to Henry, all right, and because there was somebody that needed to be talked to. So he's named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob, that's Israel, forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered her and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Father God, we just come before you today. God, I just pray that the Spirit of the Lord will take over this service. I pray, Father, Lord, that the words spoken, Lord, will be more than a Christmas sermon. But, Father, you have a message inside of this word that you want to birth in us so that we will be world changers. And our world may be small. It may just be the neighbor across the street or our block. It may be our town or it may be the state of Tennessee. It may be the world. But Father, I know that you want each one of us to influence someone else for your kingdom. I pray today, Lord, that you'll call the Sunday school teachers, the nursery workers, Lord, the greeters and the ushers, God, every person in this church, Lord, those that don't even have a position, God, I pray that they would feel the voice of the Holy Spirit and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit today, calling them to come out from among them. Don't let your unrighteousness affect them, but yield your instruments to righteousness and let righteousness influence our community. Let your kingdom be birthed in each one of us. So Lord, I pray God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God sends an angel to talk to probably a 14-year-old girl. It's what they believe that Mary was, 14, maybe 15 years old. She was engaged to a man named Joseph. And we talk a lot about Mary. We don't speak much about Joseph. But Joseph was a good man. He was a stepdaddy. He was not the father of Jesus. But he agreed to something because he knew it was of God. And he came alongside and he fathered the Son of God. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I think oftentimes we think of it from Mary's position. But have you ever thought about Joseph? Joseph was there being a daddy to Jesus, you know, the Son of God. And yet he was having to teach him. He taught him how to be a mason, carpentry in those days dealt mostly, if you ever go to Israel, you'll understand this. They have a lot more rocks than they do trees. And so it probably was a stone builder more than anything, but they called it a carpenter. And so what did Jesus do in his life? He was a carpenter, right? He did the same thing that Joseph did. How? Because Joseph passed it down. He passed his knowledge. He fathered the Son of God with no bad thoughts. I mean, his heart was right to do this. Because when you think about it, an engagement back in these days was not like engagements today. It was not like, well, if I get tired of you before we get to that wedding altar, we'll just call this off. An engagement was as binding as the actual marriage. And it could only be dissolved by a divorce. So in engagements, if you wanted to break them off, you had to divorce them. Sexual abstinence was expected by both parties before and after the engagement. Unfaithfulness during this time was considered adultery. Still talking about the engagement. It was considered adultery and it was punishable by death according to the law of Moses. So when we know the story, when Joseph found out, right, said he decided to put her away privately. In other words, he didn't want Mary to die. He could have brought her to the officials and she would have been stoned for being pregnant. But he was such a good man. Even, you know, this has never happened before and it's never happened since. I don't care what people tell you. It's not happening anymore, right? So this was a one-time thing that God came to a young woman and said, you're going to conceive a child without knowing a man. So the angel starts and he says, rejoice, highly favored one. Now, I will guarantee you that Mary did not see herself as highly favored of God. And neither do you. Right? If the angel of the Lord was to come down and talk to you and call you highly favored, you would say, who are you talking to? Right? You obviously don't know me. But he did know her. He saw something in her that she did not see in herself. And so it says that she was troubled at what Gabriel was saying. This bothered her. I don't think she felt special. She was very humble before the Lord. Gabriel said, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You'll conceive and bring forth a son, and you'll name him Jesus, and he will be great. He'll be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. And she's confused, and she says, wait just a second. How can this happen? I've never had sex with a man. I'm engaged, but we're in abstinence right now. This is not happening. How does this thing work out? And he says this. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. Now, I found this word to be interesting. I started looking it up. And the word overshadow is the same word that is used in Scripture to describe Jesus at the transfiguration. The Lord's Spirit overshadowed Jesus. Remember, was it Peter and John that was there? And they saw him turn translucent, basically, just white. And Elijah and Moses showed up. That's the same word. That spirit that engulfed Jesus, it overshadowed him. It's also the same word in the Old Testament when the children of Israel was going through the wilderness. The Bible said that they were led by a cloud by day and fire by night. That cloud that led them, that overshadowed them. You see, God has always had a way of leading his people. God still leads us today by the Holy Spirit. But like Lee said, the Holy Spirit now is within us. As you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and resides within you. And so you have him speaking to you. He tells her that Elizabeth is already pregnant. You know, she was declared barren. She's never had a child, but now she's pregnant. She was getting ready to have a boy child that they were going to name John. And he was going to be the forerunner of Christ. And he was going to make way for Jesus. And he said this word, he said, remember, he says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Would you stop and, well, just say that with me. With God, nothing shall be impossible. We say that, we know it, but we don't believe it. Think about your situation. Think about the challenge that you face in life and how oftentimes we think, well, I can't do anything about that. It's just going to be that way. It doesn't have to be. Not if the Lord chooses to change, right? For with God, nothing is impossible. The doctors will tell you this is impossible. The bankers will tell you it's impossible. The accountants, right? That's impossible. You can't do that. Oh, you're limiting my God. Oh, why don't that fire us up? Don't limit the God that's within me. Paris can be changed, can be a great light in this city, and not in this city, but in this state, in this world. Well, you don't know Paris very well. I don't know Paris very well. I know God pretty well. Are you following me? Many of you have situations that you are putting up with, believing that it will never change. And I'm telling you, if I can just get one of you to say, you know what, I'm going to stop believing that, and I'm going to start believing that all things really are possible with God. Amen. And the things that I believe that are not possible today, they can be changed, and God can change them. Amen. I don't know what that is to you, but I know a lot of us live with this gloom over our life that this cannot change. Mark 11:22, have faith in God.
Amen.
And if you have faith in God, you'll speak to that mountain.
Amen.
I'm preaching better than you're staring at me. Are you following me? Why are we putting up with this when we can speak to it? If only we would believe. Say, well, Eric, I do believe. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that Jesus is the resurrected one. I believe that Jesus has saved my soul. Well, don't stop there.
Amen.
You see, joy is the fact that no matter what our circumstances say they are, I believe that God is still able. See, I wouldn't have joy when I'm sick if I didn't think God could change my situation. God's still in charge. I don't care what your bank account says. I don't care when you stand before that divorce attorney and says, this is impossible. It's not impossible.
Amen.
Not with God. That man's life that spoke about joy was impossible a few years ago. Many of you could stand right now in this congregation and say, I was living a different life a few years ago, and I didn't think it was possible to change until God got involved in my life.
Amen.
And then the impossible becomes possible.
Amen.
God wants to move in our life. Mary was never intended to be worshiped. She was intended to be respected. She was intended to know, to be known, but never. There's only one to be worshiped.
Amen.
And that's Jesus. I love her statement, and I will feel like this sermon is a success if I can get you to repeat this from your heart by the end of the sermon. She says, I love the humble stature of this woman. She said, behold the maidservant of the Lord. She did not see herself as something great, but he had just spoken to her something that had never been done before. And to his reply, she responds, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Amen. Listen to this. Be it unto me according to your word. Folks, that's brave words. Be it unto me according to your word. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 119, verse 49, he says, remember the word that you spoke to me that caused me to hope. He's reminding the Lord of the word that he gave to him. She said, I can't figure this out. There's no way I can wrap my mind around what you're telling me. But all I'll say, be it unto me. Lord, your plan blows my mind.
Amen.
But I say, be it unto me according to your word.
Amen.
Would you be willing to say that? So what's his word say? His word says you'll be an influencer. His word says that you'll be salt and light wherever you're at. His word says that he won't stop working in you till the day he comes back. You know, maybe we should say this. Don't get satisfied with where you're at today.
Amen.
Because the Lord's still changing you. The Lord is able to change circumstances and people. I think sometimes we put ourselves in this mentality, this way of thinking, and it even God has a hard way of changing it. This is just who I am. Will you humble yourself before the Lord today and say, be it unto me according to your word, according to your plan, according to your promise. I will not make this happen. I can't make this happen. It's not what you're asking. But I will say, yes, Lord. I'm going to say yes to your plan. What's the response? I mean, that's the, he gives a request, she gives a response, and there's always a result when we follow God. The world was changed forever. Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven's glory and became a man. Why? Think about this. Because one little 14-year-old girl said, be it unto you, be it unto me. I'm willing, God, to be used by you. And the world was changed forever. For 2,000 years, Christ has ruled and reigned in this earth. You are saved today because a little 14-year-old girl said yes to the angel Gabriel. I think we sometimes don't realize what our yes is going to do.
Amen.
Will my yes have any influence on the world? We don't know. No one knows what God will do with a person that will say yes. It's the kind of faith that William Carey, the father of modern missions, he said this, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Or a man by the name of George Mueller of Bristol, who over the decades, by simple faith in God and his word, prayed in the finances to feed, clothe, shelter, and educate thousands of orphans daily without telling any person of the needs that he had. He had a conviction that he would never tell people what he needed. He would only speak to God. I'm not telling you that's right for all of us, but it was right for George Mueller. Have you read a book on George Mueller? He changed his world. Why? Because he was willing to allow God to use him. Thousands of orphans were saved in England because of this one man. I wish I could shake you just a little bit. I feel like you're saying, oh, that's just wonderful for them. Bless God, I'm so glad there was a Mary. I'm glad there was a George. I'm glad there was a Billy Sunday and a Billy Graham. Well, what if you're the next Billy Graham? See, we don't see that. No, Eric, I can't put three words together. I can't speak in front of people. I'm not talking about your ability. I'm talking about his ability when he comes on you. Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, the only immaculate conception ever. And her life changed the world because of her obedience. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was walking down the Sea of Galilee and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen and Jesus said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Jesus gave his request, follow me. Come on, think about it. You're out there throwing your net out, trying to raise enough money, trying to provide for your family. And this gentleman, maybe you've never seen, maybe you've heard of him. He walks by and he says, follow me. Now that wasn't totally unusual for rabbis. But their response to the request was immediately. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And they had two other friends that did the very same thing. And what happened? They changed the world.
Amen.
Jesus chose 12 men. 11 of them changed the world. Why? Because they left their nets. Because they were willing to trust God. So I think so many of us think that that church or this relationship with God is all about salvation. Well, say yes to Christ. Well, when Jesus comes to your heart and says, hey, I want to forgive you of your sin. I want to come into your life. But you've got to humble yourself. You've got to confess that I am Lord. Believe that I'm the one. And we believe that's the only yes that we give. I personally think that probably every day of our life we're saying yes to the Holy Ghost. It's amazing how the Lord wants to speak to his people. Thursday, I was out there painting the backside of that door that we put in. And the Lord spoke to me and he said this, and I don't know if it was for me or if it was for you, so we'll just cover all our bases. He said, people keep asking me to bless what they're doing, and they need to start doing what I'm blessing.
Amen.
Yeah. He said, people are asking me to bless what they're doing, but they need to start doing what I'm blessing.
Amen.
I'm amazed at what people ask me to pray a blessing over. I'm like, well, I would, but that's unscriptural. That's sin, and God won't bless sin. We're coming up with our own little things, and we're asking God, God, will you bless this? Bless my life, bless my life, bless my life. Well, get your life with him. I'm not talking about salvation. Probably everybody in this house is saved right now. If not, most of you are. But I don't believe God gave me a sermon to entertain you. I believe God's got a message for the saved, for the righteous. And I believe that I am trying to get you to the point. I believe this is the whole point that the Holy Spirit wants you to be able, before you leave, to say, be it unto me. According to your word. I am your maidservant. I'm your manservant. I am your servant. God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. I'm telling you, God's calling us to go a little deeper than salvation. God wants to make you a world changer. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know at what part he wants to change your world. But I'm telling you, if you'll say yes to the Holy Spirit, he'll change your world. Wednesday, we had a funeral for Arthur Lodge. And it became very apparent to me, when a man says yes, what God will do with his influence. Folks, Lot influenced his daughters. Sodom influenced Lot. Are you following me? Sin is influential. A lifestyle of sin is influential. There are many people following other sinners, and they're following them straight to hell. Wide is the gate. And I'm talking to people right now that the Spirit of the Lord is within you. I'm talking to the righteousness of God. According to 2 Corinthians 5:22 or 21. You are God's assignment. God wants to use you. Will you say yes? Or you can go through Christmas and buy all your little gifts and put them under your tree. And if you really want to feel good about yourself, then you can buy it for somebody else. I live at 120. No. Or you can humble yourself before the Almighty God and get the true gist of what's happening here. God was looking for a woman that would say yes. And I believe he's still looking for a woman and a man that will say, be it unto me according to your word. Would you stand with me? Treva, come and play the chorus, for he is great. You are great. Lord never really showed me how I was to end this thing. So I'm going to try to do the best I can. And we'll sing this service. How many of you know God's still a miracle working God? Yes. Amen. Do you believe that? God's still in the miracles. God's still the healer. He's still the Savior. Right? God's not changed. From the time he spoke to Mary to today, still the same God. God wants to do something with your life. But what it takes is you humbling yourself. Have you got those words? I've been saying those words constantly because I want them to get them into your spirit. Have you got it? Be it unto me. Would you say it with me? Be it unto me according to your word. You got it? Now, I'm not going to lead you in that. But some point when we're leading this song, as we begin to sing and worship this song, I want you to say that to the Holy Ghost. If you mean it. Don't say it because I've primed your pump. You just say it because the Spirit of God is moving upon you. And if you want special prayer, you just step out of your seat and come and line up here, and me and the deacons will be glad to pray for you. If there's just something like, you know, I really do believe that God is wanting to use me, and I'm asking you for your anointing, asking you for your blessing. You just come and stand up here. Let us sing this song.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, yes, you do. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else but you. No one else like you. Yes, you are great. Oh, yes. You do miracles. Yes, you are. So we worship you. There is no one else like you.
Some of you deacons, would you come?
There is no one else like you. Deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Yes, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is
are great. Yes, you are great. And a miracle so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Yes, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Yes, you do, Lord, and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. Yes, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Yes, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Oh, there is no within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within me.
Cast me not away
from your presence,
O Lord,
and take not let your Holy Spirit from me. Restore.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
The joy
of my salvation.
And renew a right spirit within me.
I just heard the Holy Spirit say, pray for those that have lost their joy. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need prayer for joy. I need the joy of the Lord. Folks, you get ready. Are you hearing me? You get ready. The Holy Spirit's getting ready to move across this congregation. I believe the Lord wants to rock our world today. Father God, I lift these folks up. Lord, I heard you. I heard you in that song to restore our joy. God, I know it was your voice, Lord. There are people here that love you with all their heart, but they're a long way from joy today. God, I pray right now, Lord, let them realize, Lord, that even in the wilderness, you are still God. Lord, you know when they're going through the hard times. You know, Lord, what's going on in their life, and you are still Lord. And we worship you. Lord, we refuse to worry. We refuse to be in anxiety, God. Not when you're still on the throne of our hearts. Lord, I commit these things to you and I cast my care upon you right now. And I pray, God, restore to them the joy of their salvation, of your salvation. Touch them, Lord Jesus. Lord, right now, take every worry, every care, just take it, Lord Jesus. We fling it on you, never to revisit that thing again. Lord, we realize, Lord, and when Satan tries to get us to worry again, Lord, we're going to repent and just worship you. Father, right now, restore their joy. Holy Spirit, move across this congregation, touching lives. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Denny.
My calendar says it's December 15th, so I expect to hear testimonies soon. December 15th, that's when I had my breakthrough. That's when things changed for me, when I said, be it unto me according to your word. That's when my life changed. And I expect to hear people give great testimonies of what God is doing in their life starting from today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget tonight at, is it 5 o'clock? Is it 6 o'clock? You sure? Just come at 5 just to be safe. Let's do that. The kids are doing their Christmas program. It's going to be great. Kids have worked really hard. The children's church workers have worked really hard. So please, I encourage you to come. Enjoy it with them. Let the kids see you clap and have fun and all that stuff. We'll have refreshments afterwards. So, you know, bring a bag of pretzels with you or whatever so we can all share and all that great stuff. So a lot of other stuff going on. Check the calendar, the app calendar, whatever, and you'll see what all we got going on, all the dates, Christmas caroling next week, all that fun stuff. So raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken, go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.